We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Leader Newberry, we know how Rhode Island's pension fund is getting hit hard by the bear market on Wall Street. And during Governor Raimondo's time as treasurer, the pension fund included holdings in hedge funds and other alternative investments. It didn't always perform all that well. Do you have any concerns about the job that Governor Raimondo did as treasurer in overseeing the pension fund?
I'm no expert in finance, so I'm not the best person to sit there and critique someone's investment decisions. Obviously, I'm concerned about the performance of the pension fund over the last several years. It's not just Rhode Island, I'm sure, that's had issues. As you said, we're in a bear market right now. Frankly, I don't think I'm the best one to critique it. I've heard a lot of criticisms of hedge funds. The criticisms sound valid to me, but I'm no expert in that area.
Do you see any role for the General Assembly in terms of the pension fund?
Sort of in keeping with what I just said, General Assembly is made up of citizen legislators from all different walks of life. Most of us are not experts in high finance either. That's one of the reasons why we have to elect a treasurer, whoever it is, and have staff that are. I mean, sometimes you have to defer to the executive branch and expertise, particularly in an area like that, just like you defer to the attorney general for legal issues.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, you're one of the top Republicans in the state by virtue of your position as leader in the House of the GOP. And to some of us, I'm just wondering what you make of the Trump surge on the presidential side. It looks to some of us that this is like the unbridled id of the Republican Party coming out. What do you make of his increased popularity?
Well, it's sort of like Bernie Sanders running away with it in New Hampshire right now. The same thing's happening in both parties. I think the reaction to Trump is the same reaction people have to Sanders on the other side, which is he's perceived as telling it like it is and telling the truth. Now, my personal feeling is you may like what he's saying. I'm not sure he actually believes what he's saying. That's a question for another day, but I think that's what's driving it. The other problem, you got to remember this too. There's something like 16 declared Republican candidates. They've fractured the globe. I don't know if Trump is anybody's second choice. I think he's either someone's first choice or he's their last choice. And I think when those field narrows, I think you're going to see the Trump surge decline.
Who is your preferred presidential candidate?
It's not Trump, but I really honestly have not chosen someone yet. What I will say is this, though. I want to see the Republican candidate win in 2016. There's a handful of people out there I think can win nationally. I want to see how they do, and then if the time becomes appropriate, I'll back one.
Closer to home, the House passed some measures this year meant to discourage the misuse of campaign contributions, but Rhode Island does not do any spot audits of campaign accounts, and most lawmakers, I believe, including yourself, declined to provide bank statements when they were asked to do so by Channel 12 for their campaign accounts. So are the measures that were put in place, are they strong enough to discourage a situation like we had with former Speaker Fox, who misused a large volume of campaign contributions?
That's a complicated question. I'll try to give a simple answer. First thing is, most legislators, most, not the Gordon Fox of the world, don't have huge campaign accounts. So the amount of opportunities to really do things is actually relatively minimal. I think that there should be the ability of the Board of Elections to audit the accounts on spot checks. They don't have the time to audit everybody all the time. I get that. I think they should audit people. And frankly, everyone knows who's got the big amounts of money in both parties. They should audit those accounts on a periodic basis. So I think that we should do. As far as the bank statements, things like that, these are personal bank accounts. There's no reason to give that out to the public, but we should have people entrusted in the executive branch, or I guess Secretary of State, technically, to enforce this.
I'm just wondering, the Pawtucket Stadium continues to simmer in Rhode Island. Is there any chance that you or other members of your party in the legislature could support any government subsidy for moving that to Providence?
I think the chances are about 0.0 on that one. I would tell you this. I have yet to meet someone, and I mean this, other than the representatives of the construction unions who have different motivations. I understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to meet somebody that actually supports the stadium. I'm sure they're out there. Maybe some are listening now. I've yet to meet them. In my district, I have not met a single constituent that thinks this is a good idea. I don't think the odds are very high that you'll be seeing support from me or any Republicans or most Democrats, for that matter.
We see how there are a lot of obstacles for the Paw Sox to build at their desired site on the I-195 land. What do you think the end game is here? Do you think the alternative location at Victory Place in Providence rises in prominence? Does the team go out of state? Where do you think this is headed?
I realize the owners don't want to stay in Pawtucket, but frankly, I don't see anything wrong with McCoy Stadium. And also, I know the attendance declined this year. Well, that's because they started talking about moving. I think a lot of people got angry about it. If somebody wants to throw a lot of money at them and make them move out of state, so be it. They're a private business. They have the ability to do that. I'm not going to send taxpayer money to move them, you know, 5 miles from one city to the next. It's absurd.
Switching gears a little bit, we remember how Cranston Mayor Alan Fung lost the governor's race last November by only 4 percentage points. He's since been embroiled in a controversy over the Cranston Police Department and his management of the department. What was your reaction to the state police report and its findings?
I actually haven't read the report. I've been informed of what's in it. What I've heard sounds, as I would say, politics, maybe that's worse in a lot of ways. I didn't hear anything illegal or anything like that. It sounds like, you know, he got caught playing politics, which is bad. On the other hand, that's why we have elections. I assume he's going to run for mayor again in next year. He's going to have a Democratic challenger. And, you know, the people of Cranston are the ones most directly affected by it. I'll leave the decision up to them.
I know you've been a skeptic of imposing tolls in Rhode Island, particularly the governor's truck toll plan. But where would you come up with the money to try to fix our infrastructure and invest in some of these bridge difficulties that we do have?
You know, it's interesting. I've made several statements over the years on tolls. I've never been as much of a skeptic as people say. The reason people are skeptical about tolls is because they think we have the money in the budget elsewhere. We don't need more money, and they don't trust the state government to spend it properly, which is, I fully understand that. The concept of tolls doesn't bother me. The problem is you have to do it properly. The only place you can do a toll properly in Rhode Island is in Hopkinton on 95. And I'm not saying that because they represent the other corner of the state. I'm saying that because that's the engineering reality of it. If you drive across country, as I just did, there are tolls everywhere.
Yes, there are.
And they work fairly well. The problem in Rhode Island is we have so much money flowing to state government, people say, why do we need more? I would rather have a tolling system than have a high gas tax. I'd rather do a change, frankly.
How about the argument that user fees, tolls, whatever you want to call them, are very common for the trucking industry in other Northeast states, and Rhode Island is one of the only few states that does not have them?
No, that's my point, but understand, the truck toll plan on the table, I think, as I said earlier, it's a Rube Goldberg contraption. I don't like that at all. But if you put it, I read the statistics somewhere, and I don't want to get politifact on this. This is from 5 years ago when I was talking to DOT about this Econo toll, but something like 45% of the traffic that comes through Hopkinton on 95 goes right through the state without stopping. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we pay, when I drove, if I drive down south or drive down south, you pay tolls everywhere else. That's the fair way to do it.
We have to ask you, do you think the Rhode Island Republican Party is doing what it needs to do right now to help Republicans be more competitive in gaining legislative seats next year?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know. During the offseason, I haven't spent a lot of time talking to the quote-unquote party leadership. I mean, there's always that difference between the party and the elected officials. Not in a bad way. It's just we have our own spheres of influence. I hope that the Rhode Island Republican Party does not spend too much time focusing on the presidential election. I hope they focus on the General Assembly. That's where the focus ought to be. We'll see.
Do you expect that you will be supporting a presidential candidate before the Rhode Island primary?
I don't know. I might, but I don't know.
And another year, another deficit at the General Assembly. Do you think that it was a mistake in the most recent budget to not do more to cut down the state's structural deficit?
I do. But as I said to a lot of my constituents, we started finally attacking the Medicaid issue. It didn't go anywhere near as far as I would like to, but that's what drives a lot of the structural deficit. The very fact that the Democrats finally passed a budget that started to work Medicaid back, even if it didn't go far enough, was a plus. We need to go further. That'll be the real battle next year, I think.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And House Minority Leader Brian Newberry of North Smithfield.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.